It's time for conversations about our food and how it's grown on Farm to Table Talk with your host, Roger Wasson.
Farm to Table Talk looks at a lot of things related to food, not only the food itself and how it's grown, but the stories and getting the information out and what people need to know, what farmers need to say about how they're growing, what processors need to say, what retailers are needing to say to explain whether or not the food products are sustainable and what practices are going on. And why do they do that? Because some consumers really, really want to know. And it's happening more and more. Well, there's somebody that's on top of that issue and how the industry is responding to this appetite to have more information. And I'm just happy to welcome Mark Baum. And Mark is the Chief Collaboration Officer and Senior Vice President of Industry Relations with Food Marketing Institute. Mark, welcome to Farm to Table Talk.
Thanks, Roger. Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
You know, Mark, there's so many things I have to ask you. We're going to get into the stories about food and what people want to know and how companies are trying to respond, and even government policy is kind of contributing to this phenomenon. But first, I have to ask you a little bit about Food Marketing Institute. Now, Food Marketing Institute, would you describe it as a trade association? And I think of it as primarily representing supermarkets. But does that catch it?
Right. Well, we are a trade association. That's an accurate depiction of who we are. We're a business and public policy advocacy group as well. And our primary membership are indeed food retailers and wholesalers. And, you know, we've evolved quite a bit as the industry has evolved. So traditionally, you mentioned, you know, supermarket operators, and that's still the core of our membership. But when you think about food retailing and your own shopping preferences, increasingly that means non-traditional retailers are in the food business as well. So it's everyone from the big box stores and the Walmarts and the Targets to even Bed Bath and Beyond and others. Increasingly, consumers are buying their products online. So we have a number of online retailers that are part of our membership as well. And I should note that we also, in many respects, represent those retailers' trading partners, the manufacturers and the growers and the other suppliers, product suppliers that they do business with. And we have an associate membership category which allows a lot of their service providers and solution providers to participate as well. That would include everyone from technology companies to business advisory services and consultants, equipment distributors, and the like.
Well, wow, what a space to cover. Can't be easy to make all those people happy all the time, which leads to another question, I think, about your title. In fact, I don't think I've ever seen this title before. Chief of Collaboration.
Yes. Well, it's nice when you can create your own title. So I think collaboration historically has been a very overused but overused word and underdeveloped activity. But given what I just described to you and all of the players and the complexity that is inherent in the industry today, as well as just the times that we live in, collaboration between trading partners has never been more important. And to think and act in a collaborative way with the best interests of the consumer at heart is really a big part of our business advocacy. And also about what we're going to talk about this morning relative to one of the platforms that we've developed in order to better serve consumers or shoppers about the products that they buy.
Well, let's go right into that because there is a platform that you are promoting, supporting, that has some implications even from public policy. There's been laws passed that touch into this area too. But what is this platform?
So we can touch on both sort of the practical aspects of this as well as some of the government legislative and regulatory considerations as well. But the platform in its branded form for consumers is called Smart Label. And Smart Label is a new digital tool that enables consumers to get easy access to the detailed information about the thousands of food, beverage, personal care, and household products that they're purchasing and consuming or applying in some way. And it's really easy to use. It is a platform. It's app-based, so you can get instant access to this information by scanning a QR code, and today you can actually do it through the UPC code as well. There is a Smart Label app, and you can also search these landing pages through the web as well. There's a website called smartlabel.org, and there are literally tens of thousands of products already available, even though we just launched our consumer campaign just about a week ago, available with these landing pages. And there are literally, Roger, hundreds, 350 or so product attributes that are made available to consumers in a very consistent format. So we kind of have positioned it as it goes way beyond the label, right? There's a lot of access to product information that goes way beyond what you could possibly fit on a package.
You know, a lot of people listen to this and they got to say, hey, slow down here a little bit. Now, so you're, what you're talking about is creating a place that's a uniform kind of, what you say is a platform, but a place that people can get from the product, it can tell them, take them somewhere that tells them all of this information. Like you said, I think over 300 points of information that might be there.
Right, and let me, you know, to your point about, you know, slowing down a little, let's try to put this into context. And you alluded to it in some of your opening remarks. Consumers, and not just consumers, third parties, lawmakers, regulators, consumer advocacy groups and the like, want to know about the products that they buy. They, and you said, you know, some consumers are very interested. Some are very, very interested. Some would be more interested if it was easier to find that information. They want to know the story of their food. They want to know about what they eat. In some cases, they want to know what they eats. There's all sorts of considerations that consumers and shoppers are making that go into the purchase of a product these days. It's not just as simple as the old drivers of purchases, which is price, taste, and convenience. Consumers now want to know much more about their food. They want to know about the health, product, and lifestyle implications. They want to be sure that the products that they're procuring are safe. They are concerned about the company's values, not just the value of the products, but their values as it relates to social issues or environmental issues. And they want all of this presented in a consistent, concise way and in a very transparent manner. And that is really what Smart Label was designed to do. So it is a platform, but I want to be clear, it's not like a great big database in the sky. It is simply the platform by which if a consumer clicks on an item or they scan it with their smartphone in store, it will literally take you to that brand, that item's landing page, which is owned by either the manufacturer or the retailer of that item. And the look and feel of all of those pages are the same, but it has all of the specific product attributes associated with that item. And what gives the consumer confidence is that it's the brand owner themselves that's providing it. It's not a third party. It's not a secondary site. All that information is made available by the producer of that product. So as the product formulation changes, as certain attributes associated with the product changes, the consumer can be sure to get the most up-to-date information.
You know, one thing that, as you're saying this, Mark, is reminding me that so much of the last 30, 40 years has been moving towards mass distribution, mass circulation, you know, large scale, and what mattered was whether there was a big share of the audience. The thing that strikes me about what you're just describing is that maybe large companies and stores and manufacturers and so forth are saying, I don't care how small the sliver is of the population that cares about it, we're going to have as much as they want. So, you know, it's not a deal breaker that most people don't care enough to do that. It's almost becoming a default position that if anybody does, we're going to have everything they could ever dream of. We have nothing to hide. And for those that want to avail themselves, they can plunge in here and find everything. I don't know if I said that very well, but it just really strikes me that this is not large companies just saying, okay, most of the population want this. Some want it, and if anybody wants it, they're stepping up to make sure that they have nothing to hide, and it's all there.
That's right. I think you've characterized what I would consider this massive shift, both in consumer food values and the way in which they gather information correctly. You talked about the last 30, 40 years and the move towards mass and scale. And keep in mind, we're an industry that's built on a sort of almost a 19th century industrial mass production-based platform, mm-hmm. right? And so what's happened is that consumers now, their preferences have really shifted to a much more personalized, almost customized experience and appetite for products. And so the shift has been from everything being mass, you know, let's put it on a network television program at 8 o'clock on a Sunday night and we can reach a pretty big chunk of the population, to we've got to get it down to where we meet consumers wherever, whenever, however they want to be met. And we're going to provide them with all of the information that they want, and to the extent that they have a greater interest, all of the information that they need. So we are, in effect, pulling back the curtain and saying, here's everything you wanted to know about this product. And when you experience Smart Label, when you're on these landing pages, you'll see a bunch of chevrons across the top around things like ingredients and allergens and other designations. And then you can drill deeper and deeper and deeper into those attributes. You can find out where the cocoa was grown that went into the chocolate product that you just purchased, and whether it's fair trade. You might even learn the name of the farmer that harvested it. There's so much information that makes actually the story about your food much more interesting and relevant to you. And it's just such a rich source of data that goes way beyond what traditionally or historically has been made available. And I will mention the legislative and regulatory aspect as well. This is also designed to ensure that those regulations are in compliance. So everything on the Nutrition Facts Panel, every one of those product attributes can be found within Smart Label, within those landing pages. And it goes way beyond that as well. So things like, you know, allergens, gluten, kosher, other designations, GMO labels, etc., they're all included within what we now characterize as the voluntary set of attributes that go into this Smart Label landing page as well.
Has there been research that shows that this is beyond a trend or a fad, maybe I should say, that we're not going back? I mean, that your constituents and the people that are in the association making these kind of investments say that, yeah, sure, there's people that want this right now, but our feeling is, our sense of it is, this is no going back. People get used to it, expect it, want you to be able to provide this, and there's probably going to be, while we're not obsessed with how many are in it, there'll be more next year than there are this year, and even more in the future, because we get used to it, we demand it, we want to know it, we may not ask all the time, but it's going to become an expectation, and almost price of your admission to the dance is that you have to be able to meet these unending questions or the wide range of questions that may come from your customer.
Absolutely. You know, to your point, the genie's out of the bottle. Okay, it's not going back in. It started probably with a smaller self-selecting percentage of the population, 10 to 12%. We've done a lot of research around all of these sort of consumer requirements or the growing concerns or needs that they have. Up until just a few years ago, I'd say between 10 and 12% of the consuming public had a a great interest in their foods, and they went shopping based on far beyond just, you know, that those three drivers of the path to purchase: price, taste, and convenience. They looked at all those other drivers that I discussed earlier. Another 10 to 12% really didn't care. They were just either price sensitive, or you know, knew what they wanted, or bought what they always bought. And so if you take sort of the bookends out, that, let's just say, roughly, you know, 20% of the population, there's 80% in the middle that are, you know, just learning about this. And when we surveyed them, we found out that 70% of them, 70% of that 80%, are interested in finding more about the products that they're buying beyond the ingredients listed on the label. And then we went deeper and we asked them a bit more. 8 out of 10 of those are likely to purchase a product if they could more easily understand all of the inputs and the ingredients and what that was going into the formulation of that product. And then 3/4 of them actually said they would change their buying habits if they had more information on products. And this goes way beyond just kind of things like the ingredients or allergens, but environmental impact, safety, usage information, code dating information that was in easy to understand language, and et cetera. So there's a growing percentage of that 80%, Roger, that are looking for this information every day. We think more and more are going to look at things like beyond the ingredient, allergens, sustainability and sourcing practices, and other sort of pertinent information about those companies that are providing those products to them in their daily shopping experience.
Well, we should probably point out, Mark, that one of the things that's kind of nudged this direction along started with the GMO labeling. Smart Briefs was being developed before GMO labeling issues came up, but when Vermont passed their law, and then there was a federal law passed that told the USDA to come up with a way to answer questions if people wanted to know whether or not the products were genetically engineered. And the ones that were wanting labeling wanted simply to put that on the label, but in the process with right. the USDA, they said there can be a vehicle that can have that information, and so there is a federal law that has implications for this technology or this approach too, isn't it?
Yes, and I'm glad you raised the issue, Roger, so I can actually put it into the context of both Smart Label and GMO labeling per se, which tends to be in the spotlight because it's a more controversial issue than some others, and it's a very emotional issue for some others. And one of the things I think those companies that have products that are sourced with GMO ingredients and the like have come to learn over the years is that you can have all the science and facts on your side about GMOs and still lose in the court of public opinion if your consumer doesn't really understand what that means. And going back a number of years now, there were a number of state ballot initiatives that were being introduced to require mandatory GMO labeling. And they were not passed for a variety of reasons for a period of time. And then you got it, little old Vermont up in New England passed a GMO labeling bill, and it was contingent on several factors, but the irony of what happened in Vermont was that this is a very small state with not a lot of people, and the way they set up the legislation and the fines and the ways in which you would be penalized for factors that could be on your control is that for a number of manufacturers, you literally couldn't sell through enough products to consumers in that state to offset the costs of being in compliance with the law. So we said, you know what, we've really got to address this. And so ultimately, we took our argument to Capitol Hill, and we actually, and this rarely ever happens in our business, we sought to introduce legislation, which doesn't happen very often, mm-hmm. but we sought to introduce legislation at the federal level that would then preempt states from introducing their own versions of the bill. You can just imagine if you had to be in compliance with 50 different versions of what a GMO labeling bill would look like. I mean, it would just be a supply chain and financial nightmare. So we did get the legislation passed in the summer of 2016, And this GMO legislation is now in the regulatory phase, so the rules will be written. They're not finalized yet about what that requires. And when we did that, one of the things that we discussed with the lawmakers on this issue was, while there are some who wanted to just simply go for an on-pack label, and by the way, if anybody wants to go on-pack, they're certainly free to do so.
So which means simply that they could say, like, GMO-free or not genetically engineered or something like that.
Right, or going the other way, they can say this product may or does contain GMO-sourced ingredients.
Sure.
So they could say whatever they want on the package. Our point, the point that we were trying to make, though, was using a digital disclosure platform, which is what Smart Label is, does two things. One is it satisfies that requirement across the board in a very consistent fashion, in language that is very consistent from company to company, from brand to brand, and it also goes way beyond GMO labeling. It allows you to do the same thing for things like allergens or lactose issues or celiac issues or anything associated with issues that people have with the food that they consume. So it's really important to make this point, Roger. Smart Label goes way beyond what you could put on a pack. It also goes way beyond GMOs. GMOs, there are three attributes within the Smart Label nomenclature, and there are 350 attributes across Smart Label. So as you can see, it goes way beyond just the GMO labeling issue per se.
So some may see pursuing this because of the GMO labeling and the new regulations that are coming on fact, but what you're pointing out is that this is what consumers want, all this information. It happened anyway. Maybe it's happening quicker or got started because this extra push because of that. But this trend or this appetite existed, and you're filling that need. But let's go back to something else, too. And when we keep talking about a platform, it's hard for this to not be abstract to somebody, especially like I think many people are driving in their car listening to this podcast right now, or out for a hike or at the gym or something like that. And it's kind of like, oh, I got to envision this. And so the fact that you call it Smart Label, we understand smart and we understand labels. And so you're talking about some sort of launching point from a package. I suppose
it doesn't have to be from a pack.
Okay, so it could be like in an ad on an
Instagram. No, it can be online. You can do Google. You can Google search, or you can go to a website. There's literally a website called www.smartlabel.org, and when you get there, you can visit a Smart Label products landing page. You can actually, by the way, you're not limited for those of you who are, sort of web surfing averse. Once you get there, you can call a product's 1-800 number. Smart Label is not the only way to deliver this information. We find that it is an incredibly efficient, consistent, and concise way of delivering the information. So you can search on your laptop, on your home computer, wherever you happen to be. If you've got access to a computer, you can do that. Or you can simply take your smartphone into a store, and you can literally scan the UPC label using the smartphone app. By the way, there is a Smart Label app, so go to your Android or Apple store, download the app. It's free. It'll just type in Smart Label app, and you can download it in less than a minute. And then you open the app. You literally scan the UPC code or the QR code on the package, and it takes you literally right to the landing page for that item.
Well, you know what? I'm learning something new on this, too. I've been talking about this so much, and I have not downloaded that app yet. I've downloaded QR code readers, before, and there's... So I think, again, what, Mark, I believe...
By the way, that QR code reader that you have, like a red laser, not just to name one, there's dozens of them out there. If you use that reader to scan the QR code on the package, that will take you to the landing page as well.
So here we are in a store, and we want to get more of the information. And the one is a QR code, and people... And I believe that there's, what, 77 or 80% or something of the population, some large percentage now have phones that are capable, that are
correct
smartphones.
And actually now, with the new, if you have one of the new phones, and
right.
By the way, I'm not encouraging people to go out and buy one of the new phones, but the new phones, it's built right into the camera. You just open the camera, you point it at the package, and it'll take you right up. You don't even have to open an app.
So why, I don't know why they get an app then, if they can.
Well, because most of us don't have like the latest version of their Android or iPhones, and so it's just as easy to download the app. And then it's like anything else; it becomes muscle memory, Roger. Once you use it a couple of times, you know, it becomes part of your daily routine.
So when I access this information, I see the product, and I see what looks like a QR code. I point at it, and with a smartphone that's already reading, and it'll take you right to it. Or I use the app, and it'll take it right to you. What about the UPC code? How does that get you to it?
Scan the UPC code, and it will literally take you right to the landing page.
So you got a couple ways to get there then, and more people are getting used to using UPC code because practically every store you go to anymore has self checkout as well.
That's right.
I've resisted as long as I can. I just like to talk to people.
You still like to talk to the cashier.
I do.
That frontline ambassador of all retail stores.
I know people
who have to see the same cashier all the time, even if they have to stand on a long line to get through that check stand.
Yeah. And I like to be next to people in line that look at what I got in my basket and said, "You really eat that? Do you like that stuff?"
That's great. But just 2 points on that. One is, and again, this is all very recent research that we've done. Today, 3 in 5 shoppers are using their smartphones for grocery shopping more than in the last 2 years. So most people are actually using their smartphones, usually with the retailer's app or for some other reason. They've got a special promotion or something. They're already using their phones in store. So this is just such a logical and natural extension of that. That it makes a lot of sense. The other thing I just want to point out is that the platform, I keep calling it a platform because it's not a piece of software or anything like that. It's just using existing technology, proven technology, to get to these landing pages online. It continues to evolve. So we've released a couple of different versions of Smart Label, and we continue to refine it. We now have a Spanish language version. In Canada, we have a French language version. We're looking at other languages. As the technology changes, we will continue to upgrade the Smart Label application with the new technology as well. So, for example, some companies are now starting to pilot digital watermarking. Digital watermarking is a technology was first used in currencies to obviously protect against counterfeiting and fraud and those types of things. But it gets built into the package, all over the package. And in effect, you can scan the package anywhere, not just a UPC. It scans. It's very good for front-end productivity. It's invisible to the consumer's eye. But if you were to go to digital watermarking, you wouldn't have to search for a QR code or a UPC code. You'd literally just point and click right at the product, and it would take you to a landing page.
And some of them, you do something similar already. I mean, there's so many products I just point my camera at, and I don't know how it magically gets there, but maybe they have some of the watermarking in them. So it's going to be easier.
Well, and you don't have to. I mean, that's the beauty of it, Roger. You don't have to know how it gets there. It's just, you know, we keep talking about, you know, folks are so technology savvy these days. I'd suggest we're not so much technology savvy as we are technology dependent. We don't really know how it works, but we know we need it.
Well, and actually, I keep pointing that out to people. When you look at the whole transitions we've made back in the days when people hardly used computers much at all, and people would say, it's so hard to figure out. Hey, it used to be hard. It's not hard anymore. I mean, point and click and all the things that you can do, you don't have to know much of anything because the smartphones and your computers, they do it for you. So,
and that was our argument about this all the time. I'm not suggesting that anybody who wants to, put their statements on the package themselves or on pack labeling that's, you know, that's an individual brand owner's choice. The concern that we had was, first of all, there's a limited amount of room on any given package, and then when you get to smaller items, there's less room. There's already a UPC code on that package. Sometimes there's already other information. If they're doing special promotions, there's the graphics and the logos and all the things that, you know, build the equity in the brand. You know, you start adding, so it's, you know, let's just say it was GMOs today, so it'll be gluten-free tomorrow, or it'll be something else. You know, pretty soon the package starts looking like a NASCAR racing car, and you forget what it is you're buying. This keeps it clean, it keeps it simple, and delivers exponentially more information than you ever could just reading a package.
You know, some reason as we're talking, Mark, I just was thinking about farmers markets, because in a way they're the same. You know, we're talking about going to stores and shopping, and yet, like, in what appeals to many in farmers markets is they get a whole lot of communications as well. I mean, they can if they want to, and truth is, most of them don't. But they often see the farmer themselves there when they make a visit to the farmer's market, and he can answer all their questions, and they feel confident that they're, if they want to, they can find out all there is to need. So in some way, I almost, rather than feel like these are, you know, somehow in opposition, that they're juxtaposing these, you know, two trends, I feel it's like part of the same deal.
It is. That's a good, I like the analogy, and I think it's, so, and I think it's, you know, think of it as almost like your digital farmer's assistant. So, you know, when you go to the farmer's market, part of the beauty there is you can hear the story about your food directly from the source, right? And that's powerful, and it's exciting, and it gives you a more, I think, in some cases, visceral or emotional connection to the products that you're buying. It's harder when you're buying a product in a store that's manufactured by a big company that's headquartered someplace else, and it's kind of like faceless to you. Using this app actually brings you closer to that company. You develop a lot more trust when you see all of that transparency. And by the way, once you go to the Smart Label landing page and you start clicking through these things, the manufacturer can also provide you with more information or links from there to their main website so you can learn even more about them. So we think this is going to really help establish much more of a two-way dynamic and personal relationship between consumers and those companies that they're buying those products from.
Well, I think it does, too. I get excited about it because, you know, I envision someday that you could come home on the way from the store and hear almost a podcast, you know, of the farmer that raised a certain ingredient in this particular product. You can almost do that right now, I know, with some fresh berries and fresh fruit that's got a code that you can go back to, and it even identifies who the picker was at what time in the afternoon that a strawberry was picked in Watsonville, California. And so it really is exciting, and to get better and better stories that people can understand. And the other thing, Mark, as we're talking about this, the other thing that strikes me is that it's also incentive up the chain to become more proud of what you're doing. It kind of humanizes commodities, you know, and because the farmer and those practices matter. They don't just get lost, you know, that they're just millions of tons of whatever as an ingredient. Mm-hmm. You have the ability to kind of really get back and say, sure, this is this big company that's producing it, but here's, you know, here's the farm in Farmington, Illinois that this product comes from, and here's the farm family. And so rather than, again, this just mass production, mass marketing, it allows it to come back and, you know, honestly build trust because, you know, there's nothing to hide. It's all there.
Well, I think, Roger, this is important. Food is different, okay? It's not like buying office supplies. You know, a stapler is a stapler whether you live in Portland, Maine or Portland, Oregon. Food is sensory, it's tactile, it's intimate. It is unlike other products that you buy. You know, you are voluntarily putting these things into your body or onto your skin or your hair. It's very different. You know, you're using all of your senses, and it is a great story. I mean, that is what makes this such a great industry to work in, because not only are those things really, really important, but this is the industry that really, you know, feeds families and enriches lives. And we do so on a very cost-effective and efficient basis. I don't think we've done a great job of telling our story necessarily as an industry. We've enjoyed a certain amount of trust with consumers, and there's kind of an assumption of safety and those types of things because we have a great track record as an industry. But I think we can do more to tell our story and all these positive stories about where your food comes from. And Smart Label is just one sort of arrow in the quiver, one of the tools that we have to do that.
Well, I tell you what, you've done a great job of telling that story this morning, and it sounds like you're starting to tell the story all over the place. You've started a campaign, you say, or getting the word out to consumers, and basically what? Explaining what Smart Label is and say, give it a try?
Yeah, so it's been around, and believe me, we've been getting lots of hits to the website and all the landing pages, but we didn't go public until we really felt like we had fine-tuned all of the components of the platform and that our brand owners were satisfied that they had the quality of information and the amount of information that was necessary to really provide shoppers with that information. So we literally just launched this consumer awareness campaign last week. There is a social media family. They have their own YouTube channel. It's the Johnson family, or Johnson Fam, as they're known. And they're sort of extolling the benefits of Smart Label and talking about how they're using it in their everyday lives. And they've got a lot of followers, so we're hoping they'll help get the word out. We obviously have some professionals, not necessarily our professionals, but people, dietitians, nutritionists, and others who are talking about Smart Label and what it does. We've got some folks from consumer advocacy groups that are out doing television and radio interviews. We're developing point of sale material. So we're really trying to get the word out in a sustained kind of way so that, you know, over time we get more and more people interested in it. This is not just kind of a one and done kind of thing. To your earlier point, Roger, more and more people we think are going to become more interested both in knowing what goes into their food and using the tools available to them to get to that information.
Well, and now you have a podcast about it. So we'll have
thank you for that.
we'll have to remind people to listen to the podcast or forward it to those that say, I'd like to know a little bit more about it, but next time you're going to spend a half an hour at the gym, just listen to the podcast, too.
That's right. Well, you know what? We'll be talking about food. It'll give them incentive to run a little faster or lift a little more or really get themselves working up an appetite for their next trip to the grocery store.
Well, you know what, Mark? I really appreciate this conversation. We need to do it again sometime because this area, I believe, as you do, that it's going to be just continuing to grow and people want to know more and more about it. And I'm excited about what's ahead and getting the stories of how the product's farmed, about the farmers, and show, I think, to consumers that all the way, every step of the way, there's care and conscientious programs to be able to link production practices and total sustainability up and down the chain. It's a very exciting future. And I just want to thank you for being on Farm to Table Talk and sharing that vision with us today.
Well, thank you, Roger. Thanks so much for having me. It's been a pleasure talking to you. And if you are so inclined to invite me back, I'd be willing to chat again anytime.
Oh, we definitely are. Thanks again, Mark.
You've been listening to Farm to Table Talk with your host, Roger Wasson.